This morning's reading is from John 10, 24 to 42. The Jews who were gathered around him saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you are a mere man claimed to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, the scripture cannot be set aside. What about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's son'? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place, many believed in Jesus. There's a lot in that passage. So let's just meditate upon it as we come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll open up your word to us this morning. Guide me through what I've written. Take away what isn't of you, because we only need to hear from you, Lord. So we give it over to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, "Follow Your Leader." I'm sure most of you are aware that Linda and I have just returned from a visit seeing family, attending the wedding of our great niece, which was a lovely occasion. And even Jim said the grace at it. And it was a lovely, lovely family occasion. But during our time away, we included a weekly cruise in Alaska. We'd been before, and we wanted to go back and see if it was as beautiful as what we saw the last time. And you know what? It was. Because God's handicraft was everywhere to be seen. We had a very relaxing time together. We saw quite a few whales, orcas, seals. I think we had about 14 sightings in all. You know, but they're very difficult to catch on camera. Because the first thing you see is a wee water spout. Then you might see them breaching. By the time you've got your mobile phone or your camera out, and focused, they've dived again. And then you're trying to work out, where are they going to pop up next? And they're not very cooperative. You know, but that's life, isn't it? They don't stay above the surface long enough for you to get your camera ready to focus on them. No, you should no sooner spot them than they would dive, as I said, and disappear again into the deep. And it was only the most committed that were on that deck of the ship who stood for hours with cameras rolling, or a video camera rolling forever, scanning the surface. who eventually would maybe catch a glimpse of one of them on film. And then they'd be far too far away to bring up. I'll show you later. I've got one of a little seal floating on a bit of ice, and the distance is the way it was, and I tried to increase it on my camera, and you can really recognize what it is, but it's not the greatest picture. I wouldn't get any prizes for it. It just amazes me, these creatures of the sea, they're very elusive. And some people think that God is very elusive. But you know, he's not. He's there ready 24 hours a day for anyone who wants to talk to him. All they've got to do is soften their heart and pray to him. You know, the Lord's return will be just as sudden as those wheels disappeared. As Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 22:42-44, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." That is very, very clear. And it couldn't be any more clear. We need to be committed if we're going to keep watch. Just like those ones on the camera that were trying to get the film of those elusive sea creatures. You know, they had to be committed to just get a glimpse. As Christians, it seems to me, just as the disciples were instructed by Jesus, applies just as equally to us. We need to be watchful to what is happening in our world today. And we need to remember that although we are in the world, we are not off it. You know, and there's lots of things going on in this world today, which, I don't know, we shouldn't be surprised about, because Scripture tells us things are just going to get worse. And word for today, this morning, I thought was very, very true. Where parents aren't allowing their children to go through life growing up as children should. In the old days, you can say, okay, I'm sorry for you, Jerry, there was no TV in your day. You were out playing in the street. Well, I was, yeah. But there was no distractions. And I wasn't allowed any distractions. You know, there was nothing in the house to distract your way or to make you feel older than what you were. Any time you try to be older, you get the parents telling you, remember who you are, laddie. Yeah, well, a little bit something like that. Maybe a wee bit more blunt than that. As Christians, we are called to follow Jesus and to endeavour to grow into his image. What does following your leader involve? I might be giving my age away here, but when I was a lad, we often played follow the leader. Did any of you ever play that game? It was a funny old game, really, in a way. You had to do whatever the leader did, or else you were out. And there were some that you didn't mind following because you liked them and you trusted them. And you knew that they weren't going to do anything too dangerous or to get you into any trouble. And then there was the others that you weren't too happy about. In fact, there were some that I wouldn't even join in the game with, because you could end up in the loop, which was a river, soaking wet, where they'd be jumping across crates and all this, you know, and everybody else, they were big lads that could stretch it, and all those little ones would end up in the middle, and they'd be laughing, ha ha, you know. But you learn, you only get caught out once like that. Well, to stay in the game, you have to do, as I say, whatever they did. Quite simple. But thankfully, Jesus is not like the latter. He's not a bad leader. After all, he is the Good Shepherd, we are told in Scripture. As we read in our opening reading from verses 27 to 29, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You know, with a promise like that, what have we got to worry about? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our hopes and all our fears, our cares and woes, he will cover them all. We've already said today, there isn't a problem that can't be solved by him. We may not have the answers, but he has all the answers. You know, the difference between the leaders could not be any clearer. Jesus wants to keep and take care of all those who follow him, as we have just read. He is committed to us, so we surely should be committed to him. When we look at Matthew 11, 28 to 30, we read, as Jesus speaking, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a promise. Whereas the other leader, the bad leader, he's not really interested in anyone but himself. He has nothing to do with being humble. He just wants to show how good he is and how brave he is. And if you fall by the wayside, he'll have a laugh at your mishap. But we need to remember that the bad leader that I'm talking about there is just someone playing at games. Okay, you might end up in the river, get wet or get dirty, feel belittled, but you'll get over that. Whereas Jesus is not playing games. He is deadly serious. He wants everyone in this world to have a relationship with him. As my old friend tells us, you'd be disappointed if I didn't mention Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, to claim that promise, you need to be a follower of Jesus. Because if you don't follow Jesus, the architect of that plan, you're not going to follow that plan that he has for you. No matter how well it's laid out in front of you, if you are not committed, you will not follow it. How many of us follow things that we're not interested in or that we don't love? Not many. I don't watch Carnation Street. I couldn't fall in love with it, so why watch it? You know, it's hard to understand why people can't see that there are only two choices. And the choice that they should make is a free choice. But they're free to choose whichever one they want. And people usually make their own choices if they're left to their own devices. That's why it's important that Jesus asked his Father to send the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. Because it's by his power that we actually hear and have the strength to accept the free will gift. But it is a free will choice. Not everyone who is offered it will accept it. And again, that's up to the individual. But it's sad, I think, because I know the Lord doesn't want to see anybody lost. No lost souls. As I said, they can either accept or reject the gift of salvation, for which he paid the ultimate price for on Calvary's cross. But the good news is he rose again on the third day. And it's from that resurrection that we can be made reconciled to the Father through the price he paid for each one of us, only if we accept him and follow him. If as yet you are still sitting on the fence, I would urge you this morning to follow Paul's example. Now, Paul, I am sure you know, was sitting on the fence in a way, but he was on the wrong fence because he was going after Christians or members of the way, as they were called then, persecuting them, bringing them before the tribunals and whipping them, even looking after coats while people stoned those who were part of the way. But in Acts 26:14, verse 18, we read how all that turned around. Paul writing, "We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' When I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sin and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me.'" Wow. It could not be any clearer than that. Saul was born again at that instance. He was born again. He became Paul. A change of name and a change of character. Instead of persecuting Christians, he was sent to promote Christ. And he became responsible for a huge part of the New Testament, which is the most useful thing that anybody can do when they come to Christ. He was fulfilling the Great Commission, as we know, was to go into the world and preach the gospel. One of his favourite writings of mine is from 1 Corinthians 13:1-7. "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves." Wow. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? It sounds so easy, but unless you're committed, it is very, very difficult to fulfill. And without the Lord's help, I would say impossible. You'd be glad to know, I'm going to close now with this reminder. The leader you choose is very important. It is the difference of eternal life in heaven as a son and heir of the kingdom, or eternal life of torment in hell. And I know which one the Lord wants for you. The one that I want for you as well, if you haven't already made that choice. But remember, the choice is open to everyone. And the choice is a personal choice. And it's up to you as an individual to make that choice of which leader you're going to follow. And I recommend that you follow Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are worth following. When I look through my life, I can see where your hand's been upon it, Lord, where you've opened doors and shut doors to protect me and to advance me. And Lord, I, like Jeremiah says, I know that you have plans for me, plans to prosper me and not to harm me, plans to give me hope and the future. And Lord, my hope and my future is to be with you when you see fit to call me home. So Lord, I just pray that you bless us all. Feed us from your word. Lord, let us look into it and see what areas we need to brush up to make us stronger in our faith. Lord, we need to exercise our faith just as we exercise our muscles to make them strong. So Lord, we ask for your help, because without you, we can do nothing. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.